Good morning.
Good morning.
Merry Christmas. Brother said to me this morning, "Why all this red?" I said, "Haven't you heard?" I feel like those on the road to Emmaus. Are you under a stranger in these parts? Haven't you heard what's going on? It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. That's all. I got to dress the part, you know. Good to be with you, beloved. And we're going to talk, of course, we're going to talk about the Christ of Christmas. The Christ of Christmas. Let's turn, first of all, to Genesis in chapter 49. Beginning in verse 8, it says, "Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee." Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. Excuse me. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall come, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." This was the occasion when Jacob called his sons before him. And the purpose was to tell them of that which shall be in the future. He didn't have a lot of good things to say of his firstborn. One of the things he said of Reuben is that he's like water. He's like, he's so unstable. Then he spoke also of those two boys, Simeon and Levi. He says they're very angry boys. They killed a man in anger. And now he comes to Judah. And what he's saying here is prophetic. Because from this we understand that he is speaking here of the kingly line that shall come. Judah was the beginning. Judah was that one from whom the king will come. And he spoke of the scepter. That's the symbol of authority. That's the symbol of kingship. We know there were many leaders that came before this promise was fulfilled, or this prophetic utterance. But they came from different tribes. It was not until David that the scepter came, and the scepter never departed. And from David, we know that Christ came. We find also in prophecy that many things are said of the Lord and many names. For instance, in Isaiah 7:14, he is Emmanuel. And we know that was fulfilled, reading from Matthew chapter 1, that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by the prophet. "The virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." That means God with us. And the angels also spoke of him, and we dwell on that this morning, his name. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jehovah saves. He shall save his people from their sins. What we want to look at specifically is Christ. Christ. This is the message that the angel brought, verse 10 of Luke chapter 2. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Now, Christ is the Greek form of the Hebrew Messiah, Christos. It means the anointed, the anointed. And the reason we began in Genesis is because we're going to look at Messiah, first of all, as king. Messiah as prophet. And Messiah as priest. And what all these have in common is that they were all anointed. Christ, the Lord, the anointed one. This links him with the Old Testament foreview. It links him, beloved, to the Davidic line, the kingly line. And we know that Judah, his descendants, came down through David. David the king. We'll see that later on. First of all, Messiah is king. When we think of our Lord Jesus Christ being born into this world, we know that he is the only one who was born king. That's what the Magi said as they inquired of him. "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Of course, Herod thought he was the king. He thought he was going to rule. Judah was the one through whom the Messiah would come. That line is through whom the Messiah would come, according to God's word. He's going to be king. And we see an unfolding of God's purpose when David was crowned king. You know, the Lord said to Samuel after he had rejected Saul from being king, he said to Samuel, "Take your vial, fill it with oil. I'm going to send you on a mission. I'm going to send you to the house of Jesse, the Bethlehemite. For I have provided me a king among his sons." And beloved, as you read the scripture, it's very fascinating you follow the line and the scepter. And you find that in that little narrative concerning Ruth the Moabitess, you see the unfolding of God's purpose. God was going to provide a king. And there the Naomi returns with Ruth to Bethlehem. And God provided Ruth connection with the mighty man of wealth. His name was Boaz. I want to read it for you because I think it's, I'm better off reading it In the book of Ruth, in chapter 2, for instance, it says, Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. But in chapter 4, we are talking about Judah and how it all happened. It gives us a short genealogy here. Beginning in verse 18, now these are the generations of Perez. Perez was the son of Judah by Tamar. We know that. These are the generations of Perez. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram, and Ram begot Amminadab, and Amminadab begot Nashon, and Nashon begot Salmon, and Salmon begot Boaz, and Boaz begot Obed, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David. Here is the linkage. Jesus was born of the seed of David. That's what the apostles proclaim, especially the apostle Paul. He said in Romans chapter 1, verse 3, that Christ is the seed of David according to the flesh. When the Lord Jesus was here on earth, the Pharisees and the religious leaders never addressed him, never even addressed him as having any link between David. They called him different names. They called him the son of Joseph. They called him the Nazarene. They called him everything. But it took some uneducated people. It took some people who understood who he was, even blind Bartimaeus. He addressed him, Jesus, thou son of David. Have mercy on me and others as well. The Old Testament foreview. Messiah is king. We find that in the Davidic covenant. It's not long. We're not going to read the whole thing. But in the Davidic covenant, 2 Samuel in chapter 7, remember, Messiah is king. It proves who the Lord Jesus was when he came. For the sake of time, 2 Samuel 7, just let's read from verse 14. I will be his father, speaking of Solomon, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to these words, and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. Speaking of the Davidic covenant, God promised not only a perpetual kingdom, but he also promised a perpetual seed. Perpetual seed. The perpetual kingdom was promised through Solomon, through the line of Solomon, but the perpetual seed was through Nathan. So when you read in the New Testament that the genealogy of the Lord Jesus, and you read, and this person begot this person begot another person, and on down the line, when it came to Joseph, he was the husband of Mary. Feminine singular. Of whom was born Jesus. So, He fulfilled what was written way back in Genesis 3. He was the seed of the woman. The seed of the woman. But he came through David's line. He came, beloved, through Judah as Jacob said concerning his son Judah. The lions wept. He is the king. The lion is the king of beasts. And the Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, as we read in Revelation in chapter 5. Ruler, the scepter, symbol of the ruler. It means whose right, whose right it is, whose right it is. To whom it belongs, the scepter rightly belongs to the Lord. We know he didn't, he didn't reign as king when he came the first time. They crown him, but they crown him with thorns. But he's going to fulfill all that was written concerning him, that the Lord God will give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign. He's king. He shall reign over the house of Judah, over the house of Judah, over all Israel. He's going to reign over the earth. I have brought unto you a message, the angel said, concerning the one that shall come. He is Christ, the anointed. The anointed. The Lord. We read from Micah already this morning, but we want to read it again because this is one of the most familiar verses around this time of year. And unfortunately, some versions that didn't get it right. But we're reading from a version that got it right, the Bible that got it right. It says, verse 2 says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel." Ruler. "Whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Not from ancient times, but from everlasting. If we miss that, we miss a very important statement, a very important prophecy concerning the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is, his deity, co-equal, co-eternal, and consubstantial with the Holy Spirit and with the Father. Messiah is king. You can't miss it when you read in Luke chapter 1. Beginning at verse 30, it says, "The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." And that's a literal throne here on earth in Jerusalem. "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom, there shall be no end." A perpetual kingdom, a perpetual seed. As well, we know what Isaiah 9 and 6 says. 6 and 7, we know that, don't we? But it's Christmas time, so we can read it again and remind our hearts. You can't overemphasize this, because this is past and present, beloved. Past and present. Unto us a child is born. That's what happened at Bethlehem. Unto us a son is given. The son is from eternity. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with justice and with righteousness from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Isn't that grand to know and to see, beloved, that of all the turmoil that we are going through and all the instability of government, that there's coming a day when there will be a righteous government established right here. Because he to whom it belongs, rightly belongs, he will hold the scepter. He will have the last word, and he is going to reign in righteousness. Jehovah is king. Let's move on to the next point, unless I spend all my time on that one. Jehovah, Christ, the Lord, Christ, the anointed. The king was anointed. Remember David, when God sent Samuel to Bethlehem, it was to Jesse. And before David came, and when Samuel asked Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" He says, "There's just one that's left." He said, "Bring him in, because we're not going to sit down to eat before this happens." And he brought him David, the shepherd boy, and he anointed him. The king anointed. But Messiah is also, he's also prophet. Prophet. Christ the Lord, the anointed. In Deuteronomy, in chapter 18, we have again prophecy concerning this one. Deuteronomy 18, that's a familiar portion as well, but we need to read it. Moses speaking, chapter 18, verse 15, it says, "The Lord thy God will raise unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the great of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great this fire anymore." Sorry, that I die not. They were terrified at what God was doing. But Moses is saying that there's coming one who is a prophet. One who is anointed, God's inspired messenger. And he said, you need to listen to him. Your people down through the ages must listen to him, because there are consequences. There are consequences of rejecting what the Lord has said. That's why the Lord said to those on the Mount of Transfiguration, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." It shall come to pass, verse 19, it says, that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. So when the Lord speaks, we need to listen, because there are consequences in rejecting his word. The prophet, the anointed messenger of God. And Jesus said, "He that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life." Guess what? What about those who reject his word? Judgment. The inspired messenger. When the Lord Jesus came on the scene in his early stages of his ministry, when he was calling his disciples, they had a way of identifying him. And when he called those first disciples, they went and they called another, and they called him like Andrew calling his brother Simon Peter and so on. But here's what it says. We're talking about the prophet, not a prophet, but the prophet. Verse 21 of John's Gospel in chapter 1. It says, and they ask him, this is John the Baptist, they ask him, what then, art thou Elijah? And he says, I am not. Art thou that prophet, the prophet that Moses spoke about, art thou that prophet? And he answered, no, I am not that prophet. Then we go to verse 45. We read it for 44 for connection. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. We have found him. That prophet. Now the great miracle that he performed by feeding the 5,000 on that great occasion in John chapter 6. We read it in we don't want to read too much, but verse 14 it says, after that great miracle, and those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Moses said that the Lord would raise up unto you of your brethren, a prophet like unto me. Unto him shall you hearken. Now of your brethren. Meaning that he's coming down through Judah, through David. But even further back than Judah, he came through Abraham. But from among the brethren. Like unto me, he said. When we read of the incarnation, beloved, we have to understand that when Christ came, he came as a true man. He was God manifest in the flesh. He was not an angel. And that's what we read in Hebrews in chapter 2. It says, verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. True flesh and blood. Messiah is prophet. He is that prophet. Acts chapter 3. I know you don't normally read these portions at Christmas time, but we need to see, but they're important as far as the incarnation is concerned. The fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. Acts chapter 3, verse 22 says, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, that's what we read in Deuteronomy, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass. We talk about consequences. It shall come to pass that every soul who will not hearken to that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Him shall you hear. The Lord Jesus came and he had a message for mankind. He had a message for those whom he came to seek and to save. He said on one occasion, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Prophet. Who can forget Simeon's testimony when he was questioned in Acts chapter 7, and he began to give a history of the people of Israel, beginning with Abraham. But when he got to Moses, Moses chapter 7 of Acts 37, he says, "This is that Moses," the Moses he's talking, "This is that Moses who said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like me, him shall ye hear." They're always stressing that you need to hear him. You got to listen to him. God the Father said, listen to him. Moses said, hear him. You got to listen to him. Jesus says, you got to heed my words. Christ, Christos, anointed. The king was anointed. The prophet was anointed. And the priest was also anointed. And our Lord Jesus Christ is all of those things: prophet, priest, and king. In Psalm 110, this is the priest. "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth." And here's the important part here. This is very important. "The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." After the order of Melchizedek, there was no recorded history of Melchizedek, his beginning or his ending. And that's the order of our high priest. Not that there's no recording, but God, he had no beginning and no ending. He is a priest forever. He is eternal. He always was. And always will be. The eternal priesthood of our Lord. It was after the order of Melchizedek, not after the order of Aaron, because that priesthood, there was a succession of priests because they were not permitted to continue by reason of death. But his priesthood, he has an unchanging and unchangeable priesthood. This is a very important statement. A priest forever. Melchizedek was a type of Christ because he was a king. King of Salem. King of peace. And he was the king priest according to Genesis chapter 14. But the Lord Jesus, he has a continual priesthood. Melchizedek was the priest of the Most High God, El Elyon, God in the highest. And that's what the angel says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. We have the inspired interpretation in Hebrews in chapter 5. Hebrews in chapter 5, the eternal priesthood of our Lord. Verse 5 says, "So Christ also glorified not himself to be made an high priest, But he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee, as he saith also in another place, back in the Old Testament, Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. And it refers back to when Abraham met Melchizedek. A priest forever. And we have this quoted for us this morning, but again, we can repeat it. Chapter 7 of Hebrews. Chapter 7 of Hebrews. In 23. And there truly were many priests, because they were not allowed to continue by reason of death. That's the Aaronic priesthood. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest. I love how our brother put it this morning. That became us. He was right for us. He was just what we needed. For such an high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. An eternal priesthood. Christ, the Lord, the anointed of God. Prophet, priest, and king. Here's what we read in Zechariah in chapter 6. Verse 12 says, And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold the man whose name is the branch, and he shall go up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. He is priest and king. Priest and king in this context here. So, the point we want to make today concerning the Christ child, that when you call him Christ, you link him with the Old Testament as the anointed, the priest, beginning with Aaron, and on down, they were all anointed. The prophets also were anointed, and so were the kings. All anointed. Messiah is therefore prophet, priest, and king. He is God who came down to tabernacle among us. He dwelt here, and he lived here for some 33 years. And John said, we saw his glory, and all that beheld him, all that looked upon him, saw his moral glory. Moral glory. Those on the Mount of Transfiguration also saw his millennial glory. We've seen his glory. John says, we have seen that eternal life. We've touched him. We've handled him. God in the flesh. Isaiah says, his name shall be called Emmanuel. I know some people think that this is some some typology, but this is messianic prophecy in Isaiah 7 and 14. And the Holy Spirit, through Matthew, says that it might be fulfilled. That which was spoken by the prophet, his name shall be called Emmanuel, that is, being interpreted is God with us. That's what happened, beloved, in Bethlehem's manger. That's what happened when Mary gave birth to her firstborn son. And she calls his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins, the angel said. When did it happen? So many questions. Well, it couldn't be the 25th of December. But when you read, well, maybe God can do anything, anytime he pleases, and it will always be right. But when did he really come? Well, I read the scriptures, and it says in Galatians 4 and 4, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son. The fact is, he came right on schedule. There were those who were looking for him. There were those who saw him. Simeon was promised that he will not see death until he had seen the anointed, the Lord Christ. He came right on schedule. You want to quibble about dates? I want to talk about the facts that he came. Right on schedule. Jesus says, I am coming to seek and to save that which is lost. He really came in human flesh. He took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. As you celebrate his birth this week, would that we can look at him as the anointed one? The Christ. So often we get hung up on Jesus. There's nothing wrong with Jesus. There's no name like Jesus. As hymn writer says, it sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. That's his human name. He is Christ. The Lord. He is Adonai as well as the anointed. The one to whom we serve. So good to be with you, beloved. I hope you have a Merry Christmas. Thank you for all your love and generosity over the years. It's good to be with you. I hope you and your family have a wonderful Christmas. And if you're traveling, the Lord will go with you and be with you. And the will of the Lord. The Lord be not come, we look forward to serving again in the upcoming year. God bless his word. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this day. This is the day that thou hast made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank thee for this season, for we can pause and we can get into thy word and we can see not only the fact that Christ came, but why he came, how he had us in his mind. He came down and he was pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. We thank thee that he fulfilled all the offices of the prophet, the priest, and the king. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's coming back to this earth, and he's coming to reign. And we bless God today that we shall reign with him. What a blessed thought. Oh, that this week we would all, as believers, come and adore him. to present him our gifts, the gifts of praise and worship and adoration. And may our thoughts of him be very precious. And may he become increasingly precious to all who believe. We pray and give thanks as we part the one from the other, Lord. Take us to our respective homes in peace and in safety. Guide us by thy counsel. Lead us by thy Holy Spirit and glorify thyself in us. We humbly pray for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.